Parshat Shelach. Shelach is a very deep parsha. The whole story of the Meraglim. Shelach Lecha Anoshim, the Yisur of Eretz Kanan, Hashani Noisim of an Yisrael. The Kol Yoko points out that we find three different Rishonis that are used concerning the Meraglim. Over here in Parshat Shelach, Pasuk Beis, the Pasuk says, Shelach Lecha Anoshim, the Yisur of Eretz Kanan. The Yisur of spying, going and looking over the land of Canaan. In Parshas Devarim, we find the Lashon of Nishkecha Anoshim Lefaneinu V'yachberu Lanu Es Haaretz. B'nei Yisrael said V'yachberu, also a Lashon of spying out the land. We find in Devarim, in two Pesukim later, the Pasuk says V'yiragam Loisa. The Meraglim spied out the land. We find three Lashonis. There's a Lashon of V'yisuru, V'yachberu, and V'yiragam. Says the Kli Yoko, beautiful. HaKadosh Baruch Hu used the Lashon of V'yisuru. Klal Yisrael used the Lashon of V'yachberu. And when the Torah describes the Meraglim, the Torah uses the Lashon V'yiragam. The Torah describes the Kavana that each of them had when it came to the Meraglim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, you want to send Anoshim? You want to send spies? V'yisuru. Send them to be V'yisuru. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kavana was that the spies should go, and they should see the Yisrael, the Milus of Eretz Yisrael, the extras, the Milus of Eretz Yisrael that Eretz Yisrael has over all of the other lands in the world. Eretz Yisrael, besides being Eretz Toivu, Rechava, Eretz Zavas Chol Vudvash, a land that flows milk and honey in Gashmias, it's also a land of Ruchnias, a land of Kedusha. The Gemara in Baba Basra, Kufnan Ches, tells us, Avira, the Eretz Yisrael Machim, the air of Eretz Yisrael brings Chochma, makes a person smart. Eretz Yisrael has Gashmias and Ruchnias. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu used the Lashon of Yosuru, the Lashon of Milus, of finding the extra in Eretz Yisrael.
Like
Tayyarim, Tayyar, Taurus, right. Klal Yisrael, in the Devarim Aleph, Pasuk Chabez, Klal Yisrael used the Lashon, Nishkecha Anoshim, Lefaneinu, V'yachbru Lanu Es Haaretz. Klal Yisrael already, their Kavana was, V'yachbru, the Lashon of Cherpa, the Lashon of shame, of embarrassment. Their Kavana was to try to uncover the embarrassment of Eretz Yisrael. They, the whole time in the Midbar, kept on saying, Nitna Rosh, the Neshuva Mitzrayim, let's appoint a head, and we'll go back to Mitzrayim. They were trying to find something wrong. The Bizyonis of Eretz Yisrael. So they used the Lashon of the Yachbru, the Lashon of Cherpa. Not that they were going to lie. They weren't looking for a lie. They were looking for something bad that existed, the bad points. The Meraglim, on the other hand, Vayiraglu, they went already to spy and to come back, stretching the truth, coming back like a Hailech Rachel. Rashi in Kedoshim tells us on the Pasuk, Hailech Rachel Ba'amecha, Rashi means down the word Rachel is like a meragel, like some of those spies. Mm-hmm. It's a person who tells Lashon Hara, spies on his friend to see what juicy gossip he could find by his friend. So the meragel went by a ragel. Their kavana was already to lie and come back with a story to stretch the truth. That was their kavana. So the Torah uses three terms describing the kavanas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Bnei Yisrael, and of the Meraglim themselves. When it comes to the Dar Midbar, the Dar of the Meraglim, it's a very, very difficult parsha. The Dar Midbar was on a very, very high level. This was a Dar that received the Torah. They called it Dar Deya, Dar of Knowledge. The Mabit, in the Sefer Beis Elokim, the Mabit brings down in all of the generations, from the beginning of the world until the end, there was no door that was more complete in Torah than the door of Midbar. The Torah was given to those that ate the mon. The door of Midbar was on a tremendously high level. The Ramah in the Sefer Asar Ma'amaris brings down, the Pasuk says, Dovo Tzivo Ve'elef Dor. The Ramah writes that the door of the Midbar, which received the Torah, each person in that door was equal to 1,000 people of a different door. They were tremendous, on a tremendously high madrega. One person, the door of Deya, was the equivalent of 1,000 people in a different generation. And yet this door did to us, it seems like obvious chait. Very hard to understand the Meraglim. Of course, Ayin Ponim Torah. There are many ways to understand different parashiyos in the Torah, and there are many ways to understand the chait of the Meraglim. One approach that will help us understand is an approach that's brought down by some of the Svarim. Benison Eibshitz and Yaris Devash, brings down this approach, and that is that the Meraglim felt, why should they give up life in the Midbar? They're going into Eretz Yisrael. They lived in the Midbar, they had a tremendous high level of Kedusha in the Midbar. And they wanted to stay on that high level of Kedusha and achieve more and grow in Ruchnius and grow in Kedusha. And they felt that by leaving the Midbar and going into Eretz Yisrael, they would lose that. Living in the Midbar was a world of Nisim. They lived in a different world. They lived in a world within a world of Nisim. They ate the man. They had the Sela, which gave them mayim. They had the Anane Kavoid, which lowered the mountains, picked up the valleys. At night, they had the Omer Esh, that gave them the light. It was a totally different world, a world based on Nisim. They knew that when they would enter Eretz Yisrael, the Nisim would stop, and they would go back to Teva. They would go back to the natural way of the world. They would have to plow and plant, and they would have to work for themselves. And they felt that the way to achieve this Kedusha, to keep this love of Kedusha, would be to remain in the Midbar. And that was their Kavanah. It's a little bit of a deeper concept to understand, but their Kavanah, in a way, was a type. Of course, it wasn't a right Kavanah, it was a wrong Kavanah, but that was their intention, was to keep the level of Kedusha that they had, and to try to elevate themselves. Famous Gemara in Baba Basra, Ayin Dalid, Rabba Baba Chana says, Ra Meisei Midbar, I saw the Meisei Midbar, I saw the dead people from the Dor HaMidbar, and they appear kishikairim hasheichbim aprakton, like shikairim, like drunkards that are lying aprakton. Prakton, one pshat means they were back, facing upward, they're lying on the back and their face was towards the sky. Says the Maral, the Dor HaMidbar was kishikairim hasheichbim aprakton. What is a shikir drink? A shikir drinks because he wants to become happy, he wants to be in a good mood, he wants to be shikir, enjoy life. He drinks the Dor HaMidbar like shikirim. They thought they could reach simcha, they thought they could reach higher levels of kedusha, the level they were supposed to reach, by remaining in the Midbar. They were lying up prakton on the back. Somebody who lies on the back, their face is to the sky. Says the Maral, the face was Rashamayim, the kavanas were good. The face was towards the sky. They were looking towards Shemayim, but they were actually Kairim. What happens when a shikir drinks? He thinks he's making himself better, but ultimately he ends up hurting himself. He doesn't know what's going on, and he can end up hurting himself. The Dor HaMidbar, they were actually Kairim. They thought they could achieve a higher level of Kedusha by remaining in the Midbar. The Kavanah was like a prakton, with the face towards Shemayim, looking up to Shemayim, but they were actually Kairim. They were punished for what they did. At the end, the result was that, the result of a shikir who drinks, they end up being punished because the cheshbon wasn't correct. There's a story told over with the Baditshiva. There was once a chassid who sat and he learned Torah. And as the years went on, parnasa became a necessity, and he had to slowly but surely give up his learning and go out into the world. And he found himself 1 year before Yom Tov without food for Yom Tov and without any money. So he went out and he bought a barrel of herring, of salty fish, and he stood out in the streets selling his salty fish. And he sold his fish, had enough money for Yom Tov. Yom Kippur, he comes to Baditshev, to Davin, with Rebbe Yitzchak Baditshev. And Yom Kippur, he davens with a lot of Kavana. Motzoi Yom Kippur, Baditshev walks over to him and says, you should know, Yitfilo made a tremendous Rashi Shemayim. Yitfilo made a tremendous tumult in Shemayim. And he said to this chassid, tell me if I'm right, this is what happened. He said to the chassid, by Ma'ariv last night, by Ma'ariv from Kippur night, you davened HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said like this. He said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashiveinu avinu l'sai l'sech. I want to go back to learning Torah. I don't want to be standing on a street corner selling herring. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's the only reason I'm not learning? It's because I need money. The Pasuk says, li ha-kesef v'li ha-zov numa shem tzvakos. Money, gold, silver, all belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I figured a cheshbon, I need 120 gold coins to live on for the year, so please supply me with 120 gold coins. I should be able to have parnasa for the year, and I'll go back to the base of Medrash and I'll learn. Is that what happened by Ma'ariv? And the chassid says yes. But this was said to him, by Shachris, you changed your mind. By Shachris, you made a cheshbon like this. You said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I made a mistake. If you're going to give me 120 gold coins at one time, the Yetzer Hara is going to come to me and say, you have so much money, start a store, You don't have to sell only one barrel of fish. Open up a store, you sell fish, and this way you'll have parnasa. You don't have to go ahead and stand on the corners anymore, you'll have parnasa. And the Yetzer Hara will give you a tremendous nisayon. And a person can't put himself in a matzav of a nisayon. So I said to Kadosh Baruch Hu, he told the Kadosh Baruch Hu, 120 gold coins is too much for one time. Let me have 60 gold coins now, Sukkot time, and 60 gold coins, Pesach time. Came Musaf, he said, no, have Charata. 60 gold coins is too much to have at one time. The Nisai will be too great. How about a Kadosh Baruch Hu, if you give me 10 gold coins every month? To have 10 gold coins a month, I'll have enough Parnassah for each month for the whole year. I'll be able to earn it. It came the Ila time, you had Charata again. You said 10 gold coins for the month. Still too much to have at one time. There's no telling what the Yetzer Hara will come and incite me to do with 10 gold coins. How about a coin and a half every week, 2 gold coins every week, and this way I'll have enough just for that week, and I won't have any nisyonis. So he asked the chassid, is that what happened? So the chassid said to a T, exactly what happened. That was my kavana, my ma'ariv, my shachris, my musaf, my ni'ilah. And the chassid said, no. So tell me, you told me what happened down here, but I want to know what happened in Shemayim. Did he accept my tefillah or not? So the Bnei Yitzchak said to him, no, your tefillah wasn't accepted. So the chassid said, why not? It came from the heart. Why wasn't my tefillah accepted? And the Bnei Yitzchak told him, because who says your cheshbon is the same cheshbon you have in Shemayim? You think that your learning is more important? Maybe just the opposite. Maybe when you give a krechts and say, halavai, I had time to learn. That krechts that you give, when you didn't have time, and you show your desire to learn, that krechts that you gave, your desire to learn, that's worth a lot in Shemayim. When you go out and you do business honestly, maso matan demuna, you do business honestly, that's worth a lot in Shemayim. When you go out and you have a full day's work and you're tired and you have no kaychas left and you shut yourself to base medrash to go and learn, you know how much it's worth for Shemayim. A person does a mitzvah bitzar with from tzar agra, it's worth a lot more bitzar than without tzar. Don't think that always tznicha, that a person should do a mitzvah easily. Sometimes the schar is greater, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu has more from a person who does the mitzvah under stressful circumstances, when a person has a tzar. We think always, the ideal life is when everything comes to us. We have the mon, we have the slav, we have the nane kovo, and that's how we achieve kedusha. That was a mistake the Maragel made. Faket. The way we achieve kedusha is a person who lives in this world. He lives with the teva. A person plows and he plants. He works and a person eats. A person sleeps. A person is part of the teva, the natural cycle of the world. And in that natural cycle of the world, a person goes ahead, and his desire is for Torah. His desire is to come close to Hashem. And he uses his spare time. And when he's tired, he goes in and learns, that accomplishes so much more. That raises a person to a higher level. Tremendous chizik as we go through life. Tremendous chizik to all of us. It says later on in the parasha, which ties in very well, Reishis avisei seichem chala terimu truma. And Perites Vav Pasuk Chof. It's Rabbeinu Bechai. I think we said over this Rabbeinu Bechai, but could I say it over again? Why was the mitzvah of Chala given right after the story of the Maragel? What connection is there in this parasha to the mitzvah of Chala? Says Rabbeinu Bechai. In the Midbar, Bnei Yisrael ate the mon. When they ate the mon brought Kedusha to them. The mon was Kadosh. The Torah was given to those that eat the mon. The mon brought kedusha on a person. When Bnei Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, what happened? The mon stopped. They had to go ahead and plow, plant, and eat from the bread that grew from the ground. In the midbar, they ate bread from Hashemayim. Tosfos Menachos, I think it's Daf Samechayim of days. What bracha did they make on the mon? Tosfos brings down, they made a bracha, Hamotzi Lechem Min Hashemayim, because the mon came in Hashemayim. Now they entered Eretz Yisrael, the bracha is Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. They ate bread that grew from this world, from the ground. Zot Rabbeinu Bechai. So Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him a mitzvah right away. To make the bread that a person eats for the growth from the ground. To bring kedusha on the bread. Before you eat the bread, right away separate chala. V'hoye ba'achochim. You come to eat the bread. Reishis avisaseichem chala trimus rumo Hashem. Take off truma Hashem. The bread has to be kodesh. How do you make the bread kodesh? Go ahead and separate chala. Therefore the mitzvah of chala was given right now, to teach us that even when they entered Eretz Yisrael and they went back to the world of Teva, the bread is still Kodesh, by being mafresh, being mekayim the mitzvah of Chala. A sword brought down from the Sefer Aruch HaChaim, Reishis Avisei Seichem Chala Trimu Truma. We know many times as a klal that things follow the beginning. However, you start something off, that's how things follow. Reishis arisei seichem. The word arisei seichem obviously means dough. But we also find it means a cradle, a baby in a crib, a baby in a cradle, arisa. The Gemara many times brings down arisei seichem. You find by Yosef HaTzadik, one pshat, he told the brothers even the eighths of their arisei seichem, what wood their cradles were made of when the brothers came down to Mitzrayim. So reishis arisei seichem, the beginning of your cradles, when you have a tinek, when you have a child, you have to make the child kaidish. How do you make a child kaidish? By separating challah. Challah, the ches stands for shemoneh simei milah, the 8 days of milah. The lamed is the 30 days of pidyon haben. And the hey refers to the mishnah in Pirkei Avos, ben chomesh shanim u'mikra. At 5 years old, teach a child chomesh already. So challah, reishis arisei seichem. You have to start from the very beginning. You start at the very beginning, be mechanech the child in the right derech, then the child will grow up properly. Going back a little bit, the pasuk says, "Poiked avon avos avonim." Perek Yudal, the pasuk Yudches, the Kadosh Baruch Hu pays back the sins of the fathers on the children. And obviously, the question is, why do the sons have to suffer for the sins of the fathers? Good. Rashi brings down, "It's kishoichazin maasei avoseim biyadeim." When the children do the same averus the fathers do, the fathers did, so the children are punished also. The next marshal, the famous marshal, probably heard it here and elsewhere. We know in the Gemara brings down, there are mishalim from the foxes. Remeya had 300 mishalim, there's mishalei shu'olim, there are mashal with foxes. The fox is a sly, smart animal. So one of the famous mishalim is probably a story that's well known. The wolf was very hungry, and the wolf found the fox, and he wanted to eat the fox. And the fox, being very sly, said to the wolf, "Why do you want to eat me for? I'm just skin and bones, I'm very skinny. You want a good piece of meat? Go attack a person. A person, a lot of flesh on him, a lot of meat, very meaty. Go attack a person and you'll have a good meal. A little fox like me doesn't have too much meat." The wolf said, "But I'm not allowed to attack a person. A person is, it's not worthwhile for me to attack a person. I'll get caught." So the fox told him, "Don't worry about it. You can go ahead and attack a person. The pasuk that says that the children are punished for the sins of the fathers. You could go ahead and do the sin. You go ahead and attack a person and have a good meal, and your children will get caught, but you don't have to worry about it." The fox, the wolf listens, and he goes ahead and he starts running after a person, and as he's running, he runs into a trap, and he gets caught. And the wolf is in a trap, and he starts screaming to the fox, "Liar, shakran you are, you told me I wouldn't get punished. Only my children will get punished." The fox comes over and he says to the wolf, "I was right. You're being punished now, not because of what you're doing right now, but because of what your father did. Your father also attacked a person. You're being punished for the sins of your father, not for your sins." So the wolf says, "It's not fair. Why should I be punished for the sins of my father?" And the fox answers him, "Because of what you just did. You were just willing to do an avera and have your sons punished for what you did. Midah k'neged midah. If you're willing to have your sons punished for what you did, then you could be punished for the sins that your father did." So, poiked avon avos avonim. If a person does an avera, he knows very well that the punishment is not only on himself, it's on his children also. But he does the same avera that the father did, and he's willing to endanger his children, so midah k'neged midah, he's punished for the averas that his father did also. I saw an interesting machshava this week. In the Sefer Magen HaShavuah, he brought out an interesting idea. Why was Klal Yisrael punished to stay in the Midbar 40 years? Arboim Yom Lashana. Each day that the Meraglim went out to Yisrael, 40 days, each day corresponds to 1 year. And it's a very simple question. That's very nice if the Meraglim themselves would have been punished. But the Meraglim themselves died in the Midbar, and Klal Yisrael were the ones that suffered 40 years in the Midbar. They weren't the ones that went 40 days in Eretz Yisrael. They weren't the ones that were Aboim Yoim. The Meraglim were the ones that were 40 days. Why was Klal Yisrael punished? He wants to bring out the idea that since the Meraglim represented Bnei Yisrael, they were the Shluchim of Bnei Yisrael, so Klal Yisrael was responsible for the way that their agents acted, the way their Shluchim acted, and all the preparations and all the achanas that went into the story of the Meraglim, the responsibility lies on Bnei Yisrael also when they accepted the report of the Meraglim. If Midas Peronius has that aspect, Kavachanim Midas Taiva, we know Midas Taiva is Merubah Midas Peronius. Midas Taiva is so much greater. when a person goes in, and he's part of a shir. So sometimes somebody comes over to me and they say, how much time does it take you to prepare the shir? So I never like the question. Because sometimes it can take an hour, sometimes it can take 3 hours, sometimes it's a little less. Every night has its own story. We all know how busy life could be. So people come over and ask, how much time does it take to prepare the shir? I don't like the question. But now I realize that it's a very good question. Because when everyone comes to the shir, so fakat, the only reason that there's a whole preparation is because of the shir afterwards. Everybody who comes to the shir has a chaylik in all of the preparation that goes on beforehand. So when somebody asks, how long do you prepare for the shir? He wants to know, how much schar do I have for coming tonight? Did you put 2 hours in, 3 hours in? I have a chaylik in all the time that you put in to prepare the shir. So how much schar do I have? I want to know, is it worthwhile to come? How much schar do I have for preparing the shir? The truth is, if somebody wants an honest answer, how much time takes to prepare the shir? The answer is years. It's not just an hour or 2 hours. It's really all the years that a person learned before and everything that a person learned until now that helps them put together the Gemara now, the Chumash now. It's all that he learned. So the truth is not just the hour or 2 hours or the 3 hours that a person does now. It's all the years that a person's been learning. That's all part of the Hachana.
Good.
So they come together to learn. If anybody wants to know how long it took to prepare the shir? Years. It took years to prepare the shir. And the whole preparation comes together, comes out in the shir. So you all share in the schar of all the prep, of all the time it takes to prepare the shir. I saw a nice chassam sefer, just let's finish up. At the end of Shirach, we have the parasha of Tzitzis. The pasuk ends off, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. And the chassam sefer, this is a very nice idea. I didn't see the chassam sefer inside, I just saw it brought down fast. So I can't do it justice, I can just say the part that I saw brought down. In the beginning of Shema, what do we say? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We sort of praise ourselves. We're honored that Hashem is Elokeinu. Hashem is our God. We sort of are proud to stand and say out loud, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem is our God. We sort of praise Hashem. What happens at the end of Shema? The opposite is true. Hashem says about us, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Hashem sort of is proud of us, praises himself. Look who my nation is. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. I'm their God. I'm Hashem, your God. Hashem praises us. Says the Chassam Sofer. At the beginning of Shema, we start off Hashem Elokeinu. But once we're makabel on ourselves, the haftar, the mitzvah of Avas Hashem, and the mitzvah of Tefillin, and the mitzvah of Mezuzah, and the mitzvah of Tzitzis, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at us and says, oh, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. I'm Hashem, your God. Hashem, so to speak, is proud of us. Hashem is Mishabeach himself by saying, look at my nation, B'nai Yisrael. The Chassam Sofer adds on and he says, the word emes, we add on. The word emes is not written in the Torah. We connect the word emes to Ani Hashem Elokeichem. The Torah is just saying that when you go ahead and you makabel the mitzvah of Avas Hashem, or Machash Shemayim, and you put on your tefillin and tzitzis, and you have mezuzah, Hashem says Ani Hashem Elokeichem. But l'maisa, it depends whether we do it or not. So we could say the word emes. When we're standing davening, and we were just makabel Omach HaShemayim, and we were makabel the mitzvah of Avas Hashem, and we're wearing tzitzis, we're wearing tefillin, we could say emes. It's taka true. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Hashem, look, you have what to be proud of. We're talking your nation. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Emes. It's true, because look, we're talking wearing tefillin, tzitzis, makabel the mitzvahs of makabel Omach HaShemayim. I had a machshava. If you like it, good. If not, erase it. The word emes. Aleph Mem Sof. The Aleph stands for Avas Hashem. The Mem stands for Mitzvahs, which represents Tzitzis. What's the purpose of Tzitzis? Uman Tizkru, Vasisim, Skomot Svoisai. A person looks at the Tzitzis, he remembers all the Mitzvahs. The Tov stands for Tefillin. Emes. When a person is Makabim Sof Avas Hashem, and he's wearing a Tzitzis, and he's wearing Tefillin, then he can taka say, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Emes. It's taka true. We're your nation Hashem, we're Makabim ourselves, Avas Hashem. The mitzvah tzitzis, the mitzvah of tefillin. So in a chinami, we're going into the summer now. The weather's already getting warm outside. When the weather gets warm, the yetzahara comes together with the warm weather. Everybody has their own yetzaharas when the summertime rolls around. So let's talk. Remember, we talk a daven Hashem Elokeinu, and we have to mekabel ourselves the mitzvahs Hashem Elokeichem emes. We shtaka bizoicha that Hashem Elokeichem emes. Hashem should say about us that is taka elokeichem, and we should be zeicha to be able to grow in learning. Throughout the summer, a person has more free time to grow in learning, and to do what's proper. And we should be zeichus to see Mashiach to kind of hear of you.